So this morning, I'm continuing the series that we started last week. I took the scriptures from last week and added it into your bulletin. So you'll see two sets of scripture in your bulletin. The set that deals with the book of Proverbs predominantly is from last week's message. I had so many of you fuss at me because you didn't have those notes last week that I asked Miss Teresa to put them in this week. So now you have them so that you can follow up and read the scriptures that we talked about last week. But you know, in talking about words, right, there's so much in scripture about the things we say, about what comes out of our mouth. And as Christians, as believers, right, we have to talk differently than the rest of the world. Right, we have to. We have to. The things that we say, what comes out of our mouth, has to be different than the world around us. We're called to be set apart. Right, and so this morning, we're going to look at the words of Jesus. Right, what are the things that Jesus taught about our words? And this morning, unintentionally, I'm probably going to step on some toes, right? At the end of the day, it's the word of God. It's not the word of Pharaoh, right? So if you have an issue with how it's presented, take it up with the living God, right? Because he's the one that gave us these core principles. He's the one that's calling us to be a people set apart and different than the world around us. And it's tremendously important that we know that and we understand that. Before we get into the teachings of Jesus, I have kind of one scripture that I've made, like the scripture of this series out of the book of Proverbs, right? And Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, right? Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 talks about the power of life and death is in the tongue. The power of life and death is in the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit. And so that's kind of the verse of this entire series, because we're going to talk about words for a couple of weeks, and then we're going to talk about prophecy and biblical words of wisdom and knowledge, right? Because if we're going to be a church that operates in the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit, we actually have to understand the impact of our words so that we understand the impact of the Word of God, right? Because you can't say, thus saith God, if God didn't say it. So when you come to someone with a prophecy or a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, you are putting the label of God said on something in your mouth. Be ready to be accountable for that, right? Because scripture says that we're to be accountable for that. And so after we do a couple of weeks teaching on the power of words and the teaching of scripture on words, then we're going to look at prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, right? And the gifts that I call like the tongue gifts or the mouth gifts of the Spirit, because it's tremendously important that we know and understand those things, right? So power of life and death is in the tongue. Right, so let's look at what Jesus had to say about our tongue. So there's four things that I picked out this morning that Jesus taught on our words. Four different areas in his teaching, and I'm taking them all from the book of Matthew in order from beginning to end. Right? In the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you have the teachings of Jesus. And so it's important to me that we take this kind of roughly in order. And so we're going to begin, right, with when Jesus is doing the Sermon on the Mount, right? And in the book of Matthew, he speaks to this, right? And I just kind of named this, number one, reconcile quickly. Reconcile quickly, right? And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22 from the NIV, it says this, "But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," is answerable to court. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and first go and reconcile to them and then come and offer your gift. Right? Jesus says, listen, if you've gotten into a dispute with someone and you've allowed something to come out of your mouth, right, towards them, like calling them a fool, you need to go and reconcile that situation before you offer your gifts to the Lord. There are so many Christians, right, that at one point or another have allowed themselves to say things to family members, friends, co-workers, neighbors, children, parents, right? That in the end, they look back on and go, I never should have said that. I never should have allowed that to come out of my mouth to them. I didn't really mean it, right? Like I talked last week about how we wish at times we could like take the words back and put them back in our mouth. Because all too often, church family, we get worked up, we get angry, we allow things to get stirred up, and we say stuff that we don't mean. And Jesus here goes, listen, if you're literally at the altar and you realize that your brother or your sister or someone out there, there's a situation going on between you and them, before you offer your gift at the altar, go and make right with that person. Because if not, right, the weight of that gift is not the same in the eyes of the Lord. And we're going to see that as we continue forward in what Jesus talks about, the words of our mouth. Right, we're going to see that at times, if we don't take accountability and if we don't take responsibility for the things we're saying, the Lord will hold us accountable. And let me just tell you now, you don't want that accountability. Right? You don't want that. So why not, even though it's difficult, even though it may be unbelievably humbling, why not be the one to be responsible for reconciling as opposed to the one being responsible for keeping distance, right? And having issue. Be the one that's willing to go low and make right. Be the one that's willing to own up to the things that you've said or the things that have come out of your mouth and go and do what the Lord is calling us to do here in Matthew, and that is reconcile quickly, right? This is the teaching of Jesus. Jesus is saying, wake up, heads up, right? In the original testament, it said if you do these things, right? But Jesus goes, but I say, right? What does Jesus do? He takes it up a notch. Right? It's like in the area of sexual sin. Right? He says, the Old Testament, right? The original testament, the teachings of Moses would say, if anyone commits adultery, he does this. But what does Jesus say? Jesus goes, but I say if you look lustfully at a woman. Right? Jesus takes things up a notch. Right? So in the Old Testament, it's like, I'm going to kill you. I hate you. Da-da-da. But in the New Testament, it's like, oh, there's even a fight? You got to reconcile that fight. There's even a disagreement, you got to reconcile that disagreement. Jesus calls us to a higher place. A higher place. Right? And listen, to be Christ-like means parts of your flesh have to regularly die away. Because you can't be Christ-like and be of this world. Right? Look at the way Jesus modeled this for us. So often he goes low. So often he does these things. And it's a constant like picture of what we're called to do. But so often believers allow these weights, these burdens to hang out there in different situations. And they'll even allow bitterness or anger or resentment to build up in their hearts over that stuff. And that then multiplies it, magnifies it, and makes it worse. Because now it's like layers of sin issues, right? In your mind, you've probably had that disagreement. You've had that argument 1,500 times and like come up with all the different ways you could have said this or that to like prove yourself right or for things to be different. Listen, in the end, none of those things happened. Whatever happened is what happened, right? And so allow the Lord to speak to your heart to make right anything that's hanging out there from the words of your mouth. Number two, Jesus taught on let your yes be yes. Let your yes be yes. Still in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, don't break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vow you have made. But I tell you, don't swear an oath at all, either by heaven or earth, right? Like, don't swear it either way. For it's the earth is his footstool, right? Or don't swear it by Jerusalem or the city of the great king, right? Don't, Jesus is saying, don't swear it by anything. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one, right? He says, don't swear an oath, right? Don't make an oath. Listen, this is an area I genuinely believe that Christians make a large amount of mistakes in this day and age, right? I don't know if it's the effect of sloppy grace or whatever, but I think there are a lot of Christians that regularly say to the Lord, oh Lord, I'll do this if you do this. Oh Lord, I'll go here and tell this person this, right? And I trust that you'll lead me or guide me in it or whatever, and then you never do those things. You're literally making an oath to the Lord that you're not keeping. When you say to the Lord, Lord, I'll do this. Lord, I'll do that. Lord, help me here. Help me there. And I'll do these things. And you don't keep it. You're breaking your oaths to the Lord. And I'm going to go even a step further. I think there are a ton of times, unintentionally, ladies and gentlemen, men and women of God, we sing lies to the Lord and break our oaths. Because I'm willing to bet if I actually went through the 4 or 5 songs we sang this morning and said back to you some of the things you just told God you would do 20 minutes ago, in your heart, you don't actually have any intention on doing those things. And we wonder at times why God isn't moving in our churches. We wonder why we don't see revival on a greater scale. I genuinely believe a lot of times it's because we say things to the Lord that we're not actually going to follow through with. And the Lord is a keeper of his oaths. Right? Scripture says he's faithful to the faithful. He shows his integrity to those that show integrity. You can't out-integrity the living God. You can't out-faithful a God that can bring water from a rock or part an ocean or raise the dead, right? You can't out-faithful him. You can't out-integrity him. So when you say something, let your yes actually be a yes and let your no be a no, right? When you say things to the Lord, when you commit things to the Lord, allow what's actually coming out of your mouth to be seasoned in truth, so that you follow through with the things you're saying to the Lord. You follow through. There are times, church family, I don't sing certain worship songs when my heart is in a certain place with the Lord because I realize the rawness of what I might be saying to him. And at times, if I'm in a season where I've like been destitute, or if I'm in a season where I'm worn down or these different things, I realize, Lord, I can't say this to you right now because in my heart, I can't back up what I'm saying. So I'll refrain at times from singing a certain song to the Lord. I'll refrain at times because I don't want to allow the words of my mouth to be an oath I can't uphold. How often have we said to another man or woman of God, oh, I'll pray for that, right? Giving them an oath that we would stand with them in a prayer, and then we actually never pray over that thing. How many times have we not upheld our oaths when we commit things like that to one another, right? May our yes be yes, and may our no be no, right? We should be so unashamed to say, I'm not going to take on something that I don't feel the Lord calling me to take on. If we were all that free in the Lord, if we were all that secure in the Lord, the church would be an unstoppable force. Because you wouldn't be doing something or saying something according to someone else. You would be doing and saying what you know God's called you to do while they're doing and saying what they know God's called them to do while the next person is doing and saying what God's called them to do. And listen, I'm not talking about in the world. I'm not talking even about super young believers who've just recently got saved. Some of y'all in this room have been Christians for longer than I've been alive. Right? You should be the gold standard of living a Christ-like lifestyle because you've got generations in you. Right? There's an overflow that should come out of you as a man or woman of God. Right? You should be one that when you speak, there's such like importance and magnitude in what you're saying. Right? In James chapter 5, it talks about if you're sick, go to the elders of the church, and the prayer prayed in faith will make the sick person well. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Well, listen, church family, if they could do it on their own, they wouldn't need the elders. Right? But there should be something different about those that are what? Elders in the faith. Right? They should be the greater model that when another believer comes to them in need, right, their level of faith, their level of integrity, their level of walk with the Lord meets the level of need. So that there then is breakthrough in that younger believer's life. That's what we're called to in the body of Christ. That's the level the Lord is calling us to in this day and age. When you, listen, you turn on the news, it's lies. Right? You listen to politicians, lies. Commercials, lies. Right? Like Finley and I the other day, we were watching a commercial. She goes, Dad, it's just words. And I was like, that's right, Finley. I'm glad you noticed that. It's just words. Like, they're just saying all of this stuff to try and like woo you in and influence you to take their product or buy what they're doing or whatever. And it's like, in the end, right, those words either carry an impact and a weight or they don't. As believers, we should be strong enough to not be deeply impacted or moved by the world. Right? I don't vote according to anything a politician said behind a lectern somewhere. I vote by asking the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, who he wants in authority. And that's what I do when I walk into the voting booth. I'm not swayed by the words of men. Right? And as believers, we should be the ones modeling that for the world around us, that we're not swayed by the words of men and women. No, no, no. We're swayed by this, the word of God. This is what we hold ourselves to. Number three, and this is a big one, you will have to give an account for your words. Remember, this is the teachings of Jesus, right? So it's super important that we put weight in this. This is God in the flesh coming to speak to us. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they've spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus says everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment. That's a pretty big statement by Jesus. Like, let that sink in to our hearts and minds that Jesus is saying, heads up, sons and daughters of the living God, you will give account. You will give account. And now some of you were probably maybe pretty wild when you were unsaved. Right? Some of y'all may have lived a pretty interesting pre-Jesus life, right? Like, I've chatted with a few of you and been like, wow, I didn't know that about you. Like, you know, it's just things that you learn, right? And listen, there is a measure of that that we are set free of, right? And is covered over by what? The blood of Jesus, Right? The blood of Jesus sets us free and covers over the sins of this world. But it doesn't, it's not a license for sin, right? It's not a license for us to go off and do all these things. No. We have to understand that Jesus is there with grace and mercy for us. But when we have choices we make, we must choose the Christ-like way. We have to choose the Christ-like way. And that means that we have to be accountable for our words. We have to be accountable for them. We have to hold ourselves accountable for them now so that when the Lord comes again and everyone is giving an account for what they've spoken, we are those who are backing up our words with our actions. We are those that are allowing God to rule and reign over our tongue, and it's not just loosey-goosey. We studied it on Wednesday night, studying the book of James. I'll talk about it again next week. Right, James talks about how an entire ship is moved by a little rudder. And what does he say? Your whole body is moved by your tongue. The whole thing, your whole body is moved by your tongue. Right, and here Jesus is saying, listen, hold your tongue accountable because you will have to give account over those words. Jesus is saying, you watch out over what you say, because the time is coming when you'll need to be able to like speak up or back up those things. And the reason I'm tying this together with like the prophetic and the word of wisdom and word of knowledge thing over the next couple of weeks is because I oftentimes think that people, when the Lord is like really moving and they're delivering something that's of the Lord, I think at times in our human nature, we think God needs help in delivering a word. And so we want to like soften it, or we want to like deliver it a certain way so that it's more receivable or more palatable, or we want to add to what the Lord has said. And I genuinely believe if it's a word from the Lord, it doesn't need Pharaoh. Right, God will hold himself to his word. He says that in Psalms. The Lord backs his word. And there are times and things we may not understand when the Lord is ministering and moving and giving. I can tell you this morning, church family, I've been in prophetic services. When I saw people deliver words of wisdom and words of knowledge and prophetic words, I didn't understand at all in the moment. Like, it was like weird, crazy, odd, unique stuff. But then when I would talk to the person that had received that word, they would be like, oh my gosh, that was so accurate. And I would be like, how was that accurate? It sounded like a bunch of nonsense, right? But then when they start laying it out for you and start unfolding it, you're like, oh my goodness, that's totally the Lord. Right? But oftentimes we like, when the Lord is speaking or moving, we are unsure and we don't exactly know how to say it. I'll give you an example of this. Years ago, I was ministering at a friend of mine's church in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and had just finished preaching. It was a Sunday morning, just finished ministering. And I go to sit down in my seat, and I look back over in one section of the room, and I just see, and I can't even explain it to you other than how I'm saying it to you this morning, church family. I just see over this one particular woman's head, like written in cloudy-esque, like semi-transparent lettering, just written over her head, I see the word rape. And I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do with that? Right? It was just that. It was just happened in a flash. And I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do with that? And the Lord was like, I want you to go over and pray over her to be set free. And I was like, but Lord, I don't know her. Right? Like, I'm a guy. She's a lady. It seemed as if the guy beside her was her husband. And so I couldn't shake it. I couldn't shake it. And so I slipped over, and I went up beside the two of them, and I went in the row in front, and I leaned back where my head was between the two of them, and I put my hand on his shoulder, her shoulder, and I leaned in, and I said, is there anything this morning I can pray for you about? And they were like, no, nothing. And I was like, okay. And I said, because I felt like the Lord showed me something over your lives, but I'm unsure. Right? I wasn't going to say, thus saith the Lord, because I wasn't sure it was God yet. Right? I was going to own my part because I was going to be held accountable for my words. I said, I said, is there anything? And they were like, no, I don't think so. I said, okay, well, I saw that. And I went to lean back, and the wife like reached out and grabbed my shoulder and pulled me back up again and said there in front of her husband, I was raped when I was a teenager. Would you pray over that? And I was like, yes, I would be so happy to pray with you over that. Right? And I took a couple of minutes there with her and her husband and began to seek the Lord and pray over them and pray over her. And the pastor reached out to me a couple of weeks later and he said, man, they've come in and they've shared their story with me. Like, her life has been radically changed. He's like, she's so free. Like, we're seeing the Lord do tremendous things with them. And he was like, thank you for going over and praying for them. And I was like, man, I genuinely was like, it was so sensitive. Right? Because church family, if we feel like God has given us a word, we should carry that with the utmost sensitivity. Whether it's a word of salvation to a stranger, right? You're walking through Walmart and you feel like the Lord gives you an impression for a total stranger there that God then wants you to interact with. Church family, the Lord is entrusting in that moment himself in you to the changing of their eternity. May you grip it and hold it so closely to your heart that the words that might come out of your mouth over the next couple of minutes could literally shift someone from the power of hell to the glory of the living God. Right? May we bear that weight. May we carry that in our hearts. May we know and understand we are ambassadors for the living God. So when I walk into an embassy in any other nation of this world, I have the full covering of the United States of America. Listen, when I walk anywhere in my life, I have the full covering of the creator of heaven and earth. That's a way bigger kingdom, right? So its influence and its impact is way bigger than this world. And so the words that come out of our mouth should be those things that call people to real life-changing encounter with God. They should be those things that people can put weight in. When you say, I'll pray for you, they know you're going to your knees in your closet for them. When you say to someone, I'll be there to support you, they know that you will, rain or shine, happy or sad, good or bad, be there with them. That level is the level the Lord calls us to and the power of our words. And that leads me to number four. What comes out of your mouth can defile you. Right? Because it carries such weight, because it carries such importance. What comes out of your mouth can defile you. Right? And it's important that we know this and understand this. And we're going to read a kind of a big section of scripture, and then we're going to go back to a scripture I looked at with you last week. Matthew chapter 15, right? Jesus teaching on this says, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth is what defiles them. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this, right? Why were they offended? Because it's all about the outward appearance, right? The Pharisees were offended because it was all about showmanship, right? And Jesus goes, hey, listen, I'm not worried about that, right? And he replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the root. Leave them. They're blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into a pit. And Peter goes, well, then explain it to us so that we understand, right? Explain it to us, right? And Jesus goes, man, don't you get it yet? Like, are you still not understanding? And he says, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and out of the body, right? Jesus teaches on the digestive tract, right? Into the mouth, into the stomach, out of the body, right? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defiles a person. But eating with unwashed hands, that does not defile them. Right, go back to the verse before that, verse 19 for me, Colin. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Right, it's so interesting to me that here, again, just like last week when we looked at Proverbs, here Jesus is listing some pretty intense things. Murder, adultery, theft, right? Sexual immorality. And sexual immorality covers any sex stuff outside of a marriage. Anything sexual outside of a marriage is covered in that Greek term, sexual immorality, right? So blanket statement, all of that. Pornography, you know, homosexuality, sex before marriage, all of it. Blanket statement, Jesus goes, all sex stuff outside of marriage, wrong, right? Murder, wrong. Adultery, wrong, right? Theft, wrong. But then he goes, false testimony, wrong. False testimony, wrong, right? And he's literally just quoting what the Father says, right? The ninth commandment, don't bear false witness, right? So Jesus is bringing it back now, right alongside the other things that are commandments of God. He's bringing it back up and putting it before the people again and going, this is out of your heart. These are the things that defile you. These are the things that can ruin your life because they flow up out of you. Right? False testimony and slander. And it's so interesting because you look at those two things, right? You look at what false testimony is. You look at what slander is. Right? False testimony is literally like spreading rumors or insinuations about someone. Right? Spreading rumors or insinuations about someone. God says, don't do that. Don't spread rumors. Right? Don't make insinuations. Well, I've heard they're that way because they're going through financial trouble. Do you know that for sure? Right? Do you have a reliable source to that information? If not, you're spreading a false witness. Well, I heard they're having marital trouble. Well, I heard. Right? Listen, if you don't have a reliable source, don't be saying it. And if you do have a reliable source, it's not your responsibility to tell other men and women of God about it. It's your responsibility to talk to the one who can change it, the Lord himself. Because then that leads to slander. Right? And slander literally is the making or the repetition of false statements. Right? So someone says it, somewhere it started, and then everyone else got on the bandwagon afterwards, but they're all held just as responsible as the one that originally said it. Because now they're slandering someone that someone else gave false witness to. And Jesus goes, this stuff comes out of the heart and defiles you. And he says, these are the things I want you to get rid of. These are the things I want you to have no part in. And so as men and women of God, we must regularly watch the words of our mouth so that we're not saying or doing something that in the end we will be held accountable for that at its core is wrong. We have to. The Lord's calling us, church family, to a higher standard. Listen, as we draw nearer the return of the Lord, darkness is just getting darker, right? The world's just getting more lost. But here's the great thing. No matter how dark darkness gets, it can't overcome light, right? But what I believe is happening is parallel to the world getting darker, God's also cleaning up the church a whole bunch. Right, you look at 2024 and how many church leaders were exposed for closed door stuff that was going on and the mishandling of things. And it's like, while the world is getting darker, God's over here dealing with all of these places of leadership that people have been given or people are holding that don't actually align with his fullness. And he's revealing those things and exposing those things and removing those things. And I believe he's doing it because the last days church is going to be powerful. Impactful. Right? It's going to be living and walking and moving and flowing the most like Jesus. Right? Because what What's it been now? At least 2,000 years. It's been at least 2,000 years since Jesus, right, ascended to heaven. It's been at least 2,000 years that he's been sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. It's been at least 2,000 years, right, that the Father has held back the Son, because the Son wants to come, right? The Son wants to come and bring us to be with him forever. That's what he wants. He wants his bride. He wants to be with her. He wants to celebrate. He wants to joy and revel in the glory of all that's there in that banquet feast and heavenly glory in the New Jerusalem. He wants all of that. But the Father holds the Son back because everything has to happen in the fullness of time. And so for things to happen in the fullness of time means that the church that Jesus is finally released to come back for is amazing. It's world-changing. It's not a church that someone looks at and goes, I wonder if they're any different than I am while they're drinking and smoking and cursing. No, no, no. It's a church that people look at and go, I'm not sure I can go hang out with them because they're so different than I am. Right? Read Acts chapter 2. What does it say? It says people were afraid to join them, but their numbers grew every day. How can those two things be possible? Right? Because like flies to a blue light, people are like, there's something there. I don't know that I want it. They're just bam! And like all of a sudden their life changes. That's what the last days church is going to be like. That's what the Lord's calling us to. And so if we want to enter into that, if we want to be a part of that, the Lord is calling us to be Christ-like here and now so that he can really pour his Holy Spirit out through us. Because when the Lord trusts you to guard your mouth, the Lord will entrust his word to your mouth. When the Lord trusts you to handle rightly the secrets of heaven, he will reveal those secrets to you. But when he can't trust you, and when you can't guard yourself, and when you can't handle those things, then the Lord can't entrust the great measure of what's available to you. Because in the end, you're not ready for it. You'll pump yourself up. You'll take the praises of man as opposed to giving all the glory to the Lord. You'll start adding to things, right? You'll start misconstruing stuff. And then all of a sudden, you're off down that path that the Lord never desired for you to be on, right? But when we can keep ourselves, when we can guard our mouths, when we can allow the overflow of our heart to be the good that God has for us and those around us, it will change this world. Because people will want what you have. They'll want it because they'll see that it's the real thing. They'll see that there's power and potency in it that will change their life. Matt, can you come back up to the piano for me? I closed last week with a verse, and it's going to be the closing verse of this series. Same opening verse in Proverbs 18:21, same closing verse from the book of Psalms. Psalm 141 and verse 3, right? The Lord, right, speaking through the psalmist, he talks about us setting a guard over our mouth. He says, set a guard over your mouth, right? And when you allow the Lord to set that guard over your mouth and you entrust what's coming out of it to the Lord, then the Lord knows that what he puts in there is rightly used to really impact lives. It's rightly used to really see people come to an encounter with him in whatever area of life they're in. If I could have everyone stand with me this morning. If I could get my prayer team to make their way up here to the front. In just a minute, I'm going to close in prayer. And after I do, if anything that I've shared this morning touched a chord in your heart, if you realize, man, Pastor Farrell, I need to go make right with someone that I've been in this struggle with, or Pastor Farrell, I realize that I've been too loose with my mouth and things that I say over my spouse, things I say over my kids, things I say over my coworkers, right? If you are realizing any of those things in your life this morning and you want someone to agree in prayer with you, they're here for that. They may be something else. You might need a healing in your body. You may need wisdom and direction over a major situation coming up. Whatever it may be, they're here this morning to pray and agree with you for breakthrough and for change. But listen, church family, if there's someone out there and you know there's a thing hanging in the air, make right. To the best of your ability, make right that situation and allow the Lord to move through you. Who knows what you may see from that? Bow your heads with me this morning. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you help us to set a guard over our mouth. We thank you, Lord, that you help us to be wise and careful with our words because you want to put your words in us. And so I pray over everyone in this room this morning. Lord, if they need to repent, stir Holy Spirit for repentance. If they need to speak up, Lord, stir them to speak up and make their voice known. Whatever it may be involving words, I ask today, Lord, that you would speak and you would move and you would minister to each and everyone in this room and those watching online, that we would honor you with our mouth. And that, Lord, the words that we speak would carry power because they're backed by you. We thank you for the joy of being here in this place today, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your sweet presence. Hallelujah.